All right. And you know that I just turned the mic on and we just, whatever. So there's a...
It's your show, man. Do whatever you do. Just so you know, I am recording.
Okay, great.
Hi, I'm Stephanie with AppRiver. Think of your email as a postcard. Now consider all the places where it might be seen on the way to its final destination. Would you really want social security numbers, account information, or healthcare information on a postcard? The threat to our privacy is real, and that's why you need a layered security solution that allows you to send confidential messages with confidence. One important layer is TLS. If you're an AppRiver customer, you can take comfort in knowing we will always use a TLS connection if it's available. The problem is, TLS isn't always available, and it doesn't necessarily protect your message when it reaches the server. For that, we recommend CipherPost Pro, true mailbox-to-mailbox encryption from AppRiver. With CipherPost Pro, you get an Outlook plugin, so all your team really has to remember is to click Send Secure. It's that simple. A patented delivery slip shows you when your message was received, who opened it, and what they did with it afterwards. We even make it easy for you on the go. All CipherPost Pro features are available on your mobile device, so you can send and receive encrypted email, track the messages, and open secure attachments from anywhere. Try it free for 30 days, and you can decide if CipherPost Pro is the right security solution for your business. Give us a call today. We look forward to hearing from you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Pod Nuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B, coming at you from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I have with me a special guest. He is the host of the Computer Repair Podcast, which airs live every Sunday afternoon, except for holidays and Father's Day. He is a distinguished member of the Pod Nuts Nation. He is, when he has hair, a member of the Johnny Ponytail Club. I am talking about my good friend from the north, right down from the big house in Michigan, Mr. Jeff Hallisch. Jeff, how are you, sir?
I am doing excellent. And at first, when I thought you were going to say special, I thought you were going to lean into something else, but I'm glad you went the way you did.
Listen, I was trying to be nice tonight. I wasn't going to make any mention of your special haircut.
Yeah, I know. You know, I love to change it up every once in a while because, I don't know, it's something new. Plus, it's hot out, man. I just want to keep that short. And it's, you know what? I get out of the shower and I don't have to do anything to my hair. It's
awesome. See? Yeah. Join the club, man. About time you came over to the dark side. Pretty soon we'll be like Dubinsky and have nothing.
Yeah. Poor Dubinsky.
Speaking of Dubinsky,
Mr. Johnny.
Yeah. Oh. Speaking of him, so I'm doing these series of interviews on referrals. I mentioned his name. I hope he likes it. that's all I'm going to say. So we are recording this because, as I mentioned on my show, and as people that we'll see when your show gets released, that I was just on the Sunday show where we were talking about the death of the computer repair shop. But before that show, we were actually scrambling because we didn't think there was going to be a show. And at the last minute, we were trying to come up with a topic. And just so happens that we both had an idea of the same thing. You asked me about a topic, and I had a question come to me about a topic. So I thought, why don't we just go ahead and chat about it and see where it goes?
Awesome.
So I'm going to read my question and then you can respond because the way that it reads, I won't say who it is unless I slip, but it says, Marvin, I figured you have some insight into this. I'm looking to start offering or adding to my revenue stream, a dark web scan, email address, and or domain service. Do you have any experience with these types of services or vendors?
Wow. Should I get my Kool-Aid out right now, or should we wait till the end of the show?
You can drink whatever you want, whenever you want.
So we were talking about this because I'm hearing a lot of even people in my secret Facebook group, people in other forums and Facebook groups are talking about dark web scans. They're talking about this, what I will call, and I'm not saying this is not legit. I think it is legit to a certain extent. But I think we try to basically put lipstick on a pig. And by that, I mean, we're trying to pretty up something that, hey, you know what? To be honest with you, when you think about things like dark web scans, for our managed customers, we should be doing that anyways. You should just, hey, check out, make sure that they're not getting compromised. Or if they need protection, they can have a service like LifeLock or whatever for this identity protection. But as I was reading today, I looked at somebody did an article on Experian and their dark web scans. And basically, reading through the article, it sounds like another way to stop identity theft. That's it. It's nothing more or nothing less. So I think as far as a revenue stream, I think it might be something to throw in there. Maybe that's part of what you do for a managed service. But even for a one, how much are people going to be responsible for a one-off? Like from my standpoint, for residential customers, am I going to offer a service to do that? Probably not. Now, if somebody asks me, hey, can you check out information on me and see if there's anything nefarious out there? I might think about doing something like that, and I would charge an hourly rate or accordingly. But that's kind of my take on this whole dark web scan, whatever they want to call it, next week.
So let me answer by telling you what I wrote back to the person. Basically, I said, you know, I'm not big into these services just yet. I see them as one day possibly being necessary, but for right now, I'm waiting to see how it all shades out. Because from my perspective, much like you mentioned LifeLock, and let's just say LifeLock has survived amidst a lot of problems that it has had. But for me, understanding a dark web scan right now, it's marketing. The dark web is a fraction of the unknown, you know, because if you don't know really what it is, it's really just a little subset of these little friendly peer-to-peer, friend-to-friend type networks. And that's only what we know, but there's so much more out there in areas of what they call the deep web, dark net. I mean, there's so many other terms out there. And I think what, from my perspective, what I see is these are services or servers that the authorities have found and either confiscated or are tracking, and we're able to scan those types of things. Because most of the dark web is an unindexed set of sites. So how can you search them if they're not indexed? Unless you've got somebody who's in the web, the dark web, who's a hacker, knows where these sites are, but it's still not something that we can readily scan, which is why they're offering these services, I think.
Well, and that's a perfect point right there, because that's the other thing that I was reading, is that they're talking about how can you search something that's not indexable, like you just said. It's okay. So what is the dark web, and what is, you know, and you taught me something earlier about the deep web. You know, there's all these, again, what I would consider marketing terms and things to look into, but not necessarily jump on that bandwagon as it is, and, you know, get a better understanding of it. Because I'm going to say, from my experience, I don't have a whole lot of understanding of it. I see it, and it's like the clickbait lines on headlines on a blog or, you know, newspaper or whatever. or an email that comes in. These things, a lot of times, if you're really aware, you can parse these things and go, yeah, okay, that's, they just want me to look at this. And so they're asking me to look further and deeper into it. But I think from the standpoint of the dark web scans, I think a lot of people are just looking for people to basically buy their service. Which, again, if there's some truth to the dark web scans and it can help you in some way, then I'm all for that. But I'm like you, I don't know if there is or not.
Well, I think there is proof to it. The question I have is, to what extent is there proof? Just because stuff can be found that, you know, your email has been compromised, does that mean you're really at risk? Because has it been used or will it be used? Because, for instance, if, for, you know, let's take Experian, because we're probably going to go there anyway. You know, Experian, one of the companies that has known to have a leak and have our stuff exposed, is now one of the front runners in providing this dark web scam. So the question is, every time there's an announcement that, you know, millions of email addresses and passwords may have been compromised, what is the one thing that they tell us to do immediately?
Change your password.
Right. Which means that if that is truly the case, and you change your password, when they go to use your email, and if your password is changed and secure, there's no damage. So it's a matter of just the same concept of firewalls. Just because there are thousands of botnets out there scanning addresses and trying to find open ports, it's one of those things where in my RMM platform, I can show my customer, hey, you're getting hammered thousands of times a day on your terminal server. So my customer's going to look at me, well, is that bad? Because up until that point, no, because if you've already been hit thousands of times a day for the last year and you haven't been compromised, what we're saying is no, but we need to protect ourselves so that it doesn't happen in the future. So I think that's where these scanning engines are, where they're right now just checking to see if you've been compromised. Doesn't mean anything's going to happen. So when I look at those services, you've obviously got, you know, the basic plan. We'll tell you if you've, you know, been compromised. But do they offer a solution, or do they offer help for you to solve it, to resolve the issue, clean it up? And from what I can tell, most of the basic services aren't going to offer anything to help you clean it up. They're going to give you a list. Change your password. You know, use a more secure browser. Use a VPN tunnel. You know, and they're going to give you a list of all of these things to go do. You still have to do them.
Right, exactly. And I think it's one of those things that if you look at, oh, we're getting some back there. So I think it's one of those things, if you look at things like passwords, because a lot of times when they say your email's been compromised, the concern is not necessarily about the email being compromised. The concern is you've used that password for your bank account, for your all your personal logins, because a lot of people will use the same login or same password for all their logins, or just a small handful of them. So how many of us out there are actually taking things like, I don't know, password management and giving that to our customers? Hey, there's something you can charge for and something that's actually going to make a difference, because I've got over 300 different passwords to the sites I log into, and not one of them has the same password. They're all a bunch of gobbledygook that a company like LastPass will make random of 25, 30, 35 characters, whatever it is the website will accept. That's usually what I do. And so if something gets compromised, it's very easy for me to go in and change that one password to another string of gobbledygook that doesn't really matter. And so I think I'm looking at, from our standpoint, it seems like preventative maintenance, which I know for a fact, a lot of people are not doing password management. Why? Because it's a huge pain in the butt to get somebody to understand how to manage their passwords. And so you're either doing it for them all the time, or you're constantly playing catch up, trying to get them to get to the point of, hey, I changed my password. I just want to let you know. Yeah, people never tell you that. Hey, Mike, I can't log into my email anymore. Oh, really? Hey, did you change your password? Oh, yeah, I changed my password.
Yeah, it's it is something where if we're doing the things we should be doing anyway, why scare the customers with running a service that shows them, yeah, even though we're doing all this stuff, you're still at risk. They know that. But why show them that they've been hacked or whatever? For instance, and where I was going with that is, for free, you can go to the Have I Been Pwned site. Stick your email address in there, and you're going to see all the breaches that your email address was a part of. I put my email address in there, and there's an Adobe. There's a B2B USA business. LinkedIn. You know, all were part of some sort of breach in the past. What am I going to do with that information?
Change your password.
Change my password. So, and this is LinkedIn and Adobe.
Right.
So, yeah, it's basically an idea where if you have customers that are paranoid or nervous, or you want to give them some sense of comfort in the fact that all the stuff that you're making them do, making the password management work for them, if you're putting in a firewall with services for, you know, antivirus, intrusion prevention, all of those things, if you are, you know, making them use VPN tunnels and all that stuff, these scans might be a way to show them, see, our stuff is working. But the problem is, from my perspective, is if they come up in a scan for LinkedIn or Adobe or these other sites, you know, Experian, Target, I mean, you can't protect against that.
No, because there's two types of companies out there. There's those that have been hacked and those who haven't been hacked yet.
Right.
There's only two. That's all that's out there. So here's the thing. A lot of people don't realize that when you're putting your information online, your information is out there forever. So if you've ever been online, even if you decided I'm going to get offline now, it doesn't really matter. Your information, anything you've ever put on the internet, is going to be there way after you're gone. That's how the internet works. So again, I think with the marketing hype and a lot of the scare tactics, so to speak. And again, I'm not against letting a customer know what's out there, but to your point exactly, why let them know something that there's absolutely nothing you can do to help them other than go, hey, change your password.
Right. So let's put just a little bit of a caveat on this. We might be wrong.
You might be wrong. I'm not.
Okay. I may have been wrong, but it was a mistake, right?
There you go. Right. Yeah.
So there may be some legitimate stuff out there that these services will protect against, or there may be a service that's better than. So obviously one of the good things about our community is that somebody will probably email one of us and tell us, dude, you didn't say one word about such and such. So I'm going to welcome those email because, like I said, I haven't really looked into it because the services that I have seen, I'm sorry, but I just don't believe Experian, their service, is really going to do anything. And I've, you know, seen a couple of articles on them where basically people say, yeah, I signed up for their service, it cost me such and such, but I still got hacked and I still had to pay to get it fixed. So for them, maybe the fact that they got alerted to the issue was a help. I don't know. But those are the stories that I have to start hearing where somebody says, hey, the service alerted me to a problem before it happened and saved me from having to do the fix. That's what I want to see. Just like, yeah, I don't want to have a guy on TV touting a service like LifeLock, and the next thing you know, his security number's been compromised 13 times after he launches the service. That doesn't instill confidence in me. But again, hey, people out there listening, if you know different, or if you found services at work, or if you found reasons to do these services, email us, let us know. We'll be very happy to come back and do another show and educate our listeners.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's always going to be new things to learn. I just caution people into getting into the marketing hype. That's where I can smell marketing hype a mile away before it ever hits the internet. It's frustrating to me to, you need to take a long, step back and look into the things that you're talking about. Don't just repeat what others are saying. And I'm with Marvin. Hey, I have been wrong a handful of times in my life, mostly with my wife, but that's just the way it is. So the one thing I will say is John Dubinsky always says is, the one thing I know for sure is I don't know everything. So I can always learn something new, and hopefully people will send us in some information so that we can get that information and maybe learn something new, because there's a lot of things that, again, I don't have time to pursue the internet and figure a lot of this stuff out. And there are other people out there that this is an interest of theirs and this is what they're doing. So, the community is great for that stuff. I agree with you.
Well, I can tell you one thing I did learn is I found an article on how to access notorious dark web anonymously, a 10-step guide. So that I can find.
Okay.
I don't know how that's going to help me at all, because first of all, I don't even know why. I mean, I'm sure with the big rise of the Bitcoin mining, that may have opened up a lot of dark web places that people didn't know before. Because, I'm surprised you haven't, talked about the millions of Bitcoins you've mined over the last year.
Yeah, probably because I have absolutely no interest in that. It's fine. It's like, to me, a lot of that stuff is like playing the lottery. If you have a better chance of getting struck by lightning twice and living than you do of winning the lottery. But yet, there are millions and millions of people that play every single day.
Yeah.
So there's that. You see things come in and you see them go. We'll see where this dark web stuff goes. We'll see, because thinking about it from the standpoint of cybersecurity is very, very important. But it's, again, the reason things like HIPAA and FINRA and all these things were actually created by the government is because we, the business owners, were not doing our due diligence in taking care of doing the common sense things that we should have been doing for our customers without even being forced to. So we got to deal with those things nowadays because we didn't do the right thing. Now we're being forced to do the right thing.
So I just wanted to go back and look at one of these services. So the LifeLock service, I thought there was only two plans. There's actually three. There's a standard, an advantage, and the ultimate plus.
Ooh, and what do they give you?
Well, basically, they will all give you some sort of $1 million protection package, up to $25,000 of reimbursement for stolen funds. That's in the standard plan. And then it goes up to $100,000 or $1 million in the ultimate plus. It gives you reimbursement for personal expense compensation and coverage for lawyers and experts. So in that sense, sounds like a good deal. It also provides you with Social Security and credit alerts, which the credit alerts you should already be able to get for free through your credit bureaus or your credit cards or your bank cards.
Once a year, you can pull your credit report from all four.
Right, but you can also set up alerts on your accounts, on all your accounts, to where, X number of dollars flows out that you didn't expect, or a limit or something. But these also offer lost wallet protection, which I think American Express offers that. Dark web monitoring is available on all three plans.
Ooh, they're getting on with the hype too.
Yeah.
Because it's basically the same. They're not really adding anything to their service. You're basically paying for an insurance that if you do get compromised in some form or fashion, they'll basically pay X amount to basically help you out.
Right. But on the Ultimate Plus plan, you also get monthly credit score tracking, which I get through Credit Karma.
There you go. Which is free. Free.
Exactly. You also get 401k and investment activity alerts, bank account takeover and new account alerts, file sharing network searches, sex offender registry reports, and Priority Live member support. So here's my thing. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out a way to say this without cursing, because I was going to say, why the hell would I want to know if I'm on a sex offender registry?
Or, you know, you can, if you wanted to know in your own area, you can look that stuff up on the internet. For
right. My sister will show me how to do that. I don't. So really that's, yeah. And then, so the Experian one must be similar to that. I've never actually looked that up.
Now, going back to what you'd said earlier with LifeLock, because there's been a lot of bad press, here's the thing. Like I said, they are basically an insurance to protect you if you do get compromised. The problem is the guy put his social security number on all these advertisements, trucks, and everything all over the place. There's going to be a smart person somewhere that's going to be able to grab that information, do a little social engineering, because this is not... people, stop watching movies and stop believing the hype. People do not hack like they show in the movie. It just doesn't work that way.
Oh, you mean you can't take your account and give you a whole new identity in 15 minutes?
Yeah. No.
But here's the thing with LifeLock, though. It's now partnered with Norton. Oof. So, you know, it must be good.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, Norton, you can get free with what? Comcast?
Oh, yeah. Makes it even more Comcastic. Right? I get it, but I don't use it.
Exactly.
So anyway, we both have said, it's probably going to be something really huge soon. I'm going to wait.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, I think what it's going to be is it's going to be an insurance. It's going to be a service that you offer. But again, in order, you're going to have to come into, you're going to have to grab a service to do that, because who's going to protect somebody for $25,000? You're not going to do that as a business, as a small entity. That's not going to work that way. So you're going to find a service that you can rebrand, resell, and give to your customer, but that company is still going to be responsible for paying out, taking care of, you know, losses and all that kind of stuff, which, again, is fine if it's needed. But I think there's a lot of things that we still are not doing today. And that's partially because of the customer. That's partially because of us. But I think there's things we could be better on in protecting our customers, especially from the, you know, I mean, this is the pro show. So we're going to talk about managed services. I won't say MSP. Oh, I just said it.
Oh, there you go.
But,
see,
but managed services. Yeah, exactly. I've been brought in. Managed services have been around. I was telling Marvin earlier, managed services have been around since, I'm going to say this, probably since the beginning of time. This is nothing new. Okay. This whole recurring revenue thing has been around for so long. Way before I was ever. And so it makes a lot of sense for the way we do business nowadays. And it's definitely something that's important, especially for businesses out there. And we've got to get better at letting the businesses know, here's the things you need in order to be best protected. And if the dark web scan is one of those, and you can put that in there, that's fine. But I'm with you. I don't see anything other than LifeLock that says they're going to mitigate for you if you do get compromised.
Well, no, the Experian actually has that as well. I just can't find out how much it costs, because you have to fill out this form and make a submission.
Oh.
before you find out any information. So
yeah,
they give you $1 million worth of
okay
something as well. Sorry, I went forward on the page. Like,
I mean, credit cards and stuff like that. If you've ever gotten any, if your credit card's ever been compromised, your credit card company, you know, I don't think it's changed. They pretty much cover it. They'll take care of those, you know, wrongful expenses and whatnot. Now, you know, as far as your own personal time, having to take time off work, no, that's not going to be covered in that stuff. So maybe that's why you do get an outside service to do those things. And maybe that's important. Like I said, it's like anything else. You basically do these services for a rainy day. When it rains, you don't have to take the time and effort to go through all this stuff. Now, I have heard stories, and I don't know which way this goes, whether it's true or not, but I've heard stories of people saying that even with things like LifeLock, they have basically had to go in and do a lot of mitigating anyways.
Right.
Monetarily, yeah, they were taken care of, not a problem, but there was a lot of work they had to do. And I think a lot of people look at these things as, if we do a dark web scan or we protect your identity, you will never, ever, ever get compromised. Wrong answer. It's, again, two types of people in the world. Those that have been compromised and those who haven't been compromised yet. Those are the only two. So think about that.
Yeah, I was actually scrambling to try to find information on that. And of course, you know,
create your website fast and easy with
Bluehost.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look up dark web scam and I'm getting marketing music, whatever.
Oh yeah.
So I'm not going to follow that, but I saw a site earlier that basically said that somebody used the protection but still ended up having to pay $14,000 and took them a month to clean everything up. So maybe I should
have. Actually, a month's not bad. Back in the day, I've heard of, I had a couple of friends that had their identities stolen, and this was years ago. And it was like a year that they had to deal with it. Yeah. So a month, that's not too bad. But yeah, I mean, if it still costs you money. Again, I guess I got to have something that you want to take. I mean, really?
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've butchered that topic enough. And like I said, the emails, I'm sure, will start pouring in so that you and I will be addressing this again in the near future. So, all right, my friend. Anything else pop into your mind that you want to take a stab at, or should we just...
it was one of those things that came up and we kind of talked about, and I thought, you know, this will probably be a good platform for you and me just to have a conversation, get together and just talk about our thoughts on it. And we would love feedback from other people to see where they're at with it, because the questions keep coming up, but I don't think anybody really has any solid answers as of yet. So hopefully this is something we can work on, you know, in the next few months or whatever. And hopefully more information will come out about it. And maybe somebody can sway me. I doubt it, but maybe.
So you had asked earlier what the dark web really is. So let me give you the definition and we'll end on that.
Sounds good.
The dark web is the worldwide web content that exists on dark nets, overlay networks, that use the internet but require specific software configuration or authorization to access. The dark web forms a small part of the deep web, the part of the web not indexed by web search engines, although sometimes the term deep web is mistakenly used to refer specifically to the dark web.
Wow.
So, ladies and gentlemen,
I think that says it all right there. Yes. So there's a lot of space out there that we don't know anything about and nobody wants you to know anything about. So, hey, good luck with that.
Yep. And just know that there's a section, the Tor dark web, and a lot of people probably know about the Tor browser, may be referred to as Onion Land.
Yep. onion routers. I remember those back in the day. I don't know. Are people still using those?
I have no idea. I don't think I've ever seen one.
Yeah.
I know it was a big deal. I ain't got time.
That's right. Who's got time for that?
Yeah. All right. So, folks, we'll leave you with that. And I'm sure, like I said earlier, emails will be pouring in.
Sounds good.
So, Jeff, thank you for spending a few minutes with me and helping me put out yet another Podnuts Pro episode.
It was my pleasure. I'm glad you invited me to come on. And it was nice having you back on the Sunday show last Sunday. That will be out this Thursday in audio form, and it's on our YouTube channel right now.
All right. And it was good to be there. Kind of felt like it wasn't like riding a horse or a bike or anything, but it was good to be back.
It was good to have you, and it was a great conversation that we had. What did we talk about? Oh, yeah, death of the computer repair store. So,
yes. Oh, yeah.
My clickbait title.
All right. Well, folks, thank you for listening, downloading the show, and be sure to head over to Podnuts and listen to the Computer Repair Podcast on Sundays. And I will be back. I've got a special treat coming for you in the next couple of weeks. I think everybody will be very, very happy for the return of our good friend from the Commonwealth of Louisiana. So until then, enjoy, go make money, and run your business better, smarter, faster. And until I talk to you again, holla.